Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Have an hour break for dinner. We provide dinner that tonight, and then we have another hour. So it's a long class. I just want to warn you. But because we don't do this very often, we try to teach as much as we can. First of all, I'd like to be clear to you first the purpose and the way I will teach this class, so you understand my purpose tonight. The class called Faith Study. We're going to study about faith. And the way I teach tonight is not to try to go through all the informations. 1, 2, 3, try to finish the information. Or try to give you a lot of head knowledge so that you can pass a test to get grade A, B, C. I'm not trying to dump into you a lot of information. But the purpose is to make you get the message home. And then practice what you learn. And also build your faith. You see what I mean? The purpose is not to dump in many informations, but to make sure you get the message, take home, and begin to practice. So the purpose is to help you build your faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Therefore, you may hear me repetitively to say something again and again, because I want you to get the message. Because sometimes if you say so fast, you don't get it. You just kind of, the message go over your head and you never get it. Not only that, you need to understand that what we are talking about tonight is not the things of the physical realm. I'm not trying to teach you about brain tumor, about a cold, or about physics, which is physical thing, or algebra, or math. I'm not trying to teach you psychology lesson, which is something about mental. But we are learning something of the kingdom of the spirit. This is for something related to spiritual kingdom. Something that is related to the principle of heaven. Which is sometimes, because we are living in the physical body, we are trained to deal with mental and physical fact. But we have the spirit inside us. But before we become a Christian, we lack the training in the area of the spiritual thing, the realm of the spirit. So whatever I say tonight, it might be something you kind of chop because it go against what your thinking, your mental idea has been in your mind for a long time. It may not go along with your mental capacity, but faith is of the supernatural. Faith is of the spirit. Faith is something of heaven, not of the world. But we try to grab a hold. We try to build faith so that we can bring heaven into this world. We can bring the things of God whatever God has for us into this physical world, into your personal life. You see, so tonight I just want to prepare your heart first, that you're not coming into a lecture. You're not coming into a class that I will give you a lot of information to pass a Bible school class. My goal is to make you get the message. Amen. So just want to be clear. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the class tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you will teach us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak through your servant. Speak into the heart of your people by your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, tonight we want to learn. We want our mind renewed. We want our spirit fed by the bread of life from heaven, the word of God from the mouth of God. Father, build our faith in this church, that we will be people of faith. We want to understand, and we want to walk by faith. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Welcome everybody to this class. I like to read from the scripture in John chapter 20, verse 28. Many things that I say tonight may be something you have heard, you have known, but it's good to repeat again. John chapter 20, verse 28. The Bible say, verse 25 first. Verse 25, I will not believe until I can see and put my finger into the print of his hands and thrust my hand into the wound of his side. This coming Sunday we'll have a celebration of Resurrection Sunday. And this is what happened after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. One of the disciples named Thomas, this is his comment. His name is Thomas. He said that unless I see his hand, the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Thomas' faith depends on what he could see, he could feel. He said that if I don't see, if I don't touch, if I don't feel, I will not believe. But after Thomas saw Jesus, this is not Jesus before he died. He already died on the cross. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And he was walking on earth with a new body, a new glorious body. But he still had the wound on his hand, the hole from the nail. And he also had a wound on his side when the Roman soldier put the spear on his side. He still had that wound. So Thomas saw Jesus with his own eye and put finger onto his hand. And then verse 28, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." You can see here that Thomas' faith came after he saw, came after he touched. But I want to tell you that this is not Bible faith. This is not the faith that we talk about in the Bible. This is not something that we try to learn tonight. We're going to try to learn the Bible faith, the biblical faith, the faith of God, not human faith. Thomas had a human faith. The faith that you say, I believe only after I see. I believe after I touch, after I smell, after I could feel the physical sensation. Look at what Jesus said in verse 29. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How many people have seen Jesus? No one has seen Jesus. But why we believe in Jesus? Because we read the Bible. We read the scriptures. And the scriptures say that there was a man named Jesus, the Son of the living God, who died for our sin. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, and He was raised from the dead. And you know we are a candidate of being blessed because we believe in Jesus. We believe that He was the Son of God, and He died, and He was raised from the dead. And Jesus said, those who ever believe and has not seen but believe shall be blessed. Amen. How many people want to be blessed? Learn how to walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible did not only talk about Jesus raised from the dead. The Bible talked about many things. Talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. The Bible also talked about healing, divine healing. The Bible talked about many things, the promise of God in the Bible. Now, if we believe in what the Word of God says, even though we haven't seen, we are blessed. Amen. So first of all, I want to emphasize this, that when we talk about faith tonight, we are not talking about human faith. I believe that Pastor Cesar is going to give me $1 million only if I see the check. That is human faith. Is that right? Because I see first, then I believe. I remember when I was a young believer, one pastor told me that in order to get people to have more faith, I need to do some kind of healing in front of public first. Get some people healed in front of public. Then they will start to have more faith to get healed themselves. It sounds very good. And at that time, I believed him. It sounds very good that if you can show that somebody is healed by God in front of public, then the rest of the whole room is going to believe that God can heal. It sounds very good when you make that comment. But now after I studied the Bible, I found that if I teach my congregation that way, I sin against God. Because I try to teach you that you need to see somebody get healed first, then you believe that God can heal you. You need to see somebody speak in tongues first, then you will believe that you can speak in tongues. So your faith will be based on what you see, what happened to other people. And that is the wrong kind of faith. What is the right kind of faith? This is the right kind of faith. I believe what the Bible says, no matter what. I believe what God says in this book, even though I have not seen. I believe what the scriptures say, not what I hear and not what I see. If I pray for healing for my fever, and my fever is still there, will I believe or will I say, no, the fever is still there, then I'm not healed. If you say, because I feel the fever, therefore the Bible lied to me, then I don't have faith. Because the real faith is to believe in what God says, regardless of circumstances and physical symptoms. Amen. Wow, now you're going to start to feel that why I say that this class is a spiritual thing. Because it goes against your mental understanding. We are trained all these years in the scientific class. We are trained all these years in the school that you're going to believe in something only when you can prove and when you can see. But the Bible faith is that you believe, period, in this book. Whether you see or whether you have a physical manifestation of what the Bible say or not. Amen. Look at another man in the Bible who is totally different from Thomas. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. Do I go too fast? I hope not. Okay. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. So God promised Abraham that he's going to be a father of many nations. And you don't need to understand that when Abraham received the promise of God or the word of God, he was already 75 years old. Okay? His wife was already not a young lady anymore. They both were out of the age of having a baby. You need to understand that, okay? So the promise of God came to him, and it looked impossible. The Bible says God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Another word, the baby was not there yet. The baby was not in the womb of Sarah, Abraham's daughter yet. But God called, you're going to have a baby no matter what. That's what I say. He called those things that did not exist as though they did. Okay? So God is more powerful than natural realm. God is over the natural realm. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believe that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Listen carefully, this is the faith of Abraham. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Let's say at the same time, did not consider. In other words, he did not look at. He did not pay attention to his own dead body. He's old. He was old. He was 75 years old. You know how many years later that he had a baby? How many people know how many years did Abraham wait until the promise of God become true? Who knows? 25 years. He kept his faith and did not look at his old body. Scientifically, medically, the man could not have a baby. But he received the promise of God. Amen. And the Bible says he did not consider his own body. Look at the difference between Thomas and Abraham. Thomas said, I want to see first, then I believe. But Abraham said, I'm not going to see first. My body actually became old. I did not consider the physical circumstances in my life. I consider the word of God. I consider the promise of God. I consider what God said, period. No if and or but. That is the real faith. The faith that just hang on to the Bible, hang on to what God says. Amen. Since the Bible says, not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead, mean already old, cannot have a baby. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was able to perform. You can notice the differences between Thomas' faith and Abraham's faith. Thomas' faith, he considered the physical circumstances. But Abraham did not consider physical circumstances. He did not consider the symptoms. He did not consider what he see and what he hear and what he feel. What did he consider? He considered what God says and promises him. Amen. Let's say at the same time,
I will consider
what God says to me. You know, the Bible have a few scriptures that talk about what we should consider. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews 3, 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly callings, consider, let's say at the same time, consider. The apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. What we should consider? Consider what? Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't consider the circumstance. Don't consider the symptoms. Don't consider what you see and what you hear. Consider Jesus. And I'm going to explain to you in a minute what it means. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, Hebrews chapter 3 say what? Consider Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 say, looking unto Jesus. Another word. We should get our mind on the right thing. And our mind should be on Jesus. We should keep our eyes on Jesus. We should keep considering Jesus. We should keep our heart, our focus on Jesus. What does it mean? It means that we're going to go to evangel and look for a very beautiful paint, a picture of Jesus, and pay $50 and buy that picture and hang on the wall and come home and stand in front of the picture and keep looking at the picture. That's what it means. Huh? That's what it means, that you keep looking at the picture of Jesus? No. I want to repeat one more time. This is the spiritual thing. You keep your spirit, keep looking at Jesus. Your spiritual life, your spiritual eye, keep focusing, looking, considering Jesus. In what way? We consider who Jesus is. Is that right? Who is Jesus? A weak man, a defeated foe, a crazy man. No, Jesus is the Son of the living God. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He paid a price for us. He is all powerful. He is very anointed. You keep looking into Jesus, the man, the anointed man of God, anointed Son of God. So if you keep looking to Jesus, the circumstance in your life will not be able to change you. Amen? Don't really keep looking into Jesus. Keep looking into what Jesus did for us. What did Jesus do? He paid for your sin. He healed your sickness on the cross. The Bible says, by His stripe, you were healed. Is that right? Jesus, on the cross, He became poor so that we might be rich. You keep looking at what He did for you instead of looking at the circumstances. You keep saying, you know, every time the devil comes to tell you, oh, you know, you're not going to make it this month financially. You say, no. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to look unto Jesus, because Jesus became poor so that I might be rich. If you become sick, and the devil tell you, or your body tell you, oh, you're not going to make it. You're too sick, you're too weak, you're too exhausted. You say, no. I'm not going to look at my symptoms. I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm going to look unto Jesus. I'm going to consider Jesus. By His stripes, Jesus on the cross, I was healed. Amen? Wow! How many times in your life you keep looking into Jesus? What is the human nature? Our human nature is that what? We keep focusing on the problems. We keep considering our symptoms, our circumstances. Is that right? Our conditions, our situations. But the Bible says, don't look at those things. Don't consider those things, but consider Jesus, who He is, the powerful God. Keep considering what He did for us, and keep considering what He is doing for us. How many people know what Jesus is doing for us right now? Jesus is still working, do you know that? He's not sleeping. What is He doing right now? He is interceding for you and me. He is in heaven on the right hand of the Father, praying for you and me right now. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus cares for you. He's praying for you on the in heaven right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I got an email and asked me, Pastor, why don't you celebrate, Passover Friday? Why don't you celebrate Palm Sunday? Do you want to know the answer? I have two answers. How many people wonder why the pastor did not ask the church to celebrate Palm Sunday like many, many churches? How many people wonder? Especially all believers. So you don't wonder. You're not wondering why I'm not celebrating this. I want to tell you two reasons. Number one, God told me not to. Is it simple? God told me not to. And I just asked God again today. God said, no, don't do it. And he told me why. The second reason, because I don't want to dwell, on the Palm Sunday and the Passover. I'm now dwell in heaven on the right hand with Jesus in heaven. I'm being seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm. I'm going beyond that now. I don't want to go back to Palm Sunday anymore. I mean, by my position, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I am being seated with God in the heavenly realm. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm not going to walk in the past anymore. Amen. The church should celebrate the victory that we are with God in heaven right now in our position. I know that some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. But that's okay. One of the reasons I don't celebrate all this hot day, the religious day, because I don't want to put our church into religion again, into all this tradition and religion. I walk with Jesus. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I celebrate his death for me every single day, not only special Sunday, not only this Friday. Every day of my life, I thank God he died for me, not only this Sunday, this Friday. Amen. Why we have to have a special day this Friday? What is a big deal? To me, it's not a big deal. Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. It's over. Now I'm walking in the light of his victory. Amen. Hallelujah. You may not like it. It's okay. But I need to obey God. Amen. Now, have you ever heard people say this way? Pastor, could you pray for me? I believe I get a call. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard people come to you and say, brother, could you please pray for me? I believe I get a call. Could you please pray for me? My family, we have a problem with cancer. I believe one day I'm going to get a cancer. Have you ever heard that kind of comment? When people come to me like this, I don't like to pray for them. Because my concern is that my prayer will not get answered. Why? But today I notice all the eyes kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? Am I going too deep today? No. Okay. Look at the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 verse 29. Matthew 9, 29. According to your faith, let it be to you. So what do you consider? What do you put your faith in? You get what you believe. If you say, I believe one day I'm going to have a cancer. Will you get it? Possibly. Is that right? So you get what you believe. The Bible says, according to your faith, according to your belief, let it be to you. Therefore, please, don't look at the negative side of your life. Don't consider those stuff. Cancer, sickness. Consider Jesus. Consider what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
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 You know what I consider for myself? This is what I consider in the Word of God. And I notice that since I considered this in the past 5 years, I can see the supernatural thing in my life. I read to you. It's not in the computer there. This is what I consider every day when I wake up. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Every day I consider this scripture. Every day I consider Jesus, that on the cross 2,000 years ago He died for me, He paid a price, and He healed my sickness. I believe I'm going to keep on this faith, I'm going to consider, I'm going to believe that I will live a long, healthy life, and no sickness can take my life away. If I die one day, I die old age. Sit down and God take my breath away and I will be in heaven without cancer, heart attack, disease in my body. That's what I consider. I don't accept sicknesses. I don't believe sickness for myself. I don't mean that if I get sick, I don't mean that I deny that there is sickness. But in my heart, I'm going to keep looking at what the Bible says. I'm not going to keep looking at what my symptoms say.
Amen.
And I notice that since I have done this in the past 5 years, I'm healthier than before. I rarely get sick. Amen. It's amazing. Hallelujah. I see so many patients in my office who get weak, get very, a lot of sickness in their body, and I'm looking at them, and some of them even younger than me, 45 years old, younger than me. They get sick and sick and sick, and I was looking at these people and saying, you should come to church and learn this lesson. I'm serious. You know, so that you can be healthy. You need to keep considering the right thing. Don't say, you know, some of my patients, yesterday I saw one of my patients walk in, and this man keeps saying that, I believe I'm not going to get better. I said, please stop saying that. Please stop saying that. I told him, but I cannot explain to him in the spiritual way because he's not a Christian. But he kept saying, I believe I'm going to be like this forever. I said, no, please, don't believe that. You need to believe in what God said.
Amen.
Put your eyes on Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Do what Abraham did. Abraham, the Bible says, he did not consider his own body. He did not look at the symptoms. Amen. So, it's very important, I tell you, what you say. I want to teach you how to say things. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. How many people know who is the high priest? Okay, let me explain because we have a lot of new believers in this class right now. In the Old Testament, there are priests come from Aaron's family. And we call the Levites. These people did not do other jobs. They did not earn a living. They did not go out to do farming or shepherding. They took care of the temple. Out of all these priests, there was one man that appointed to be the high priest. I did not explain this on Wednesday, but I want to explain tonight because I noticed we have a lot of new believers here. This high priest, once a year, will go into the temple, has two rooms. The outside temple of the Jews, the outside room called the holy place, where there are tables, the bread, the candle, and the incense altar, incense that they burn, incense up to God. And then between these two rooms, there was a big curtain, high and thick. Historically, how many people watch the Passion of the Christ? In that temple, you see that the curtain, the veil, was torn into two. According to history, that veil is so thick that they need to use many, many horses to pull it apart. Very thick. Inside the room, which is called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place, there is the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and according to the Bible, the presence of God was inside there. No one could get in. If you get in, you die. Because no sinner can get into the presence of God. Okay? At that time. So only one man can get into that room only once a year. And that is the high priest. To do what? He will get in once a year to pour the blood on the mercy seat, the blood of animal that they killed to die for the sin of the whole nation of Israel. The high priest represented the whole nation of Israel who claimed Jehovah, who believed in Jehovah. Once a year, he took this blood in and poured on the altar. That blood shed to forgive the sins of the whole nation of Israel once a year, so that they can make it to heaven. Do you understand what I mean? This high priest cannot even get in more than one time a year. Now, why the Bible called Jesus the high priest? Do you notice that nowadays in the church we don't have that high priest to bring animal blood anymore? Because Jesus is our high priest. He died on the cross, shed his own blood, and then he took his blood up to the altar in heaven, on the mercy seat in heaven, and he poured his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. One time, done deal, never have to do it again. That's why he is the high priest of the church. You get what I'm trying to say? I know I spend time explaining because a lot of people don't understand this. Who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What does it mean, hold fast? It means like this. I hold to it. I don't let it go. Is that right? That's what it means in English. Like, you try to pull my Bible away. No, you cannot pull my Bible away. I hold fast. I hold on to it. Okay. What does it mean, the word confession? Confession means you say something in agreement with somebody. For example, if the judge say, do you drive more than 75 miles an hour? I say, yes, I did. You confess, is that right? You agree with him. A lot of time when we use the word confession, we use in a negative, on a negative side. Oh yes, I confess my sin. I confess I did wrong. But don't forget that the word confession actually is a neutral word, which means you say something in agreement with another person. So, what the Bible tried to say is this. What we need to do is to say things in agreement with what Jesus said and hold on to it. Let me repeat one more time. Watch your mouth. Don't say things against the word of God. God cannot take your side and perform a miracle for you if you don't agree with what he said in the Bible. In order to get the answer of your prayer, to get miracle and signs and wonders in your life, what you need to do is to make sure you confess. You say things in agreement with what he say all the time and hold fast to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time I see that, I look at her and I say, you shall be healthy, you shall live a long life. I confess. I never accept that thou gonna be sick and die early. But that's what the Bible says, that if I diligently hear the voice of the Lord my God and do what is right in his sight, he will not put on the diseases on me that he put on the Egyptians, because the Lord is my doctor, my healer. He keeps me healthy all the days of my life. And I need to confess that, I need to agree with it, I need to keep my eyes on it, and I will not say something opposite to it. This is about faith. Amen. How many people have a tendency to say negative things? Repent right now And from now on, don't say something opposite the Bible. Amen. On the cross, Jesus carried our sickness. On the cross, He carried our sin. On the cross, He carried our shame. On the cross, He carried our poverty. On the cross, He carried our rejection. On the cross, He carried our curses. On the cross, so all these things is done. Now He give us blessing. He give us prosperity. He give us good health. He give us strength. He give us joy. We need to say the same thing what He did for us in agreement with what the Bible says. How many people want God to take your side? Amen. If you want God to take your side, you need to agree with Him. Amen. Will you do something for somebody who always argue with you? I don't think you will give people a favor if they always argue with you and say, I don't agree. You don't give that person a favor. But if somebody come and, I have a joke in my operating room. I have a joke. There is my assistant, he is about 56 years old. He has a lot of experiences, he's older than me. And I don't know how many people know a person in our church named Jim. Jim and Michelle. Jim is the one who sells medical product. So, I remember a long time ago, one of the product salesman came to the OR, and every time this man says something, this 56-year-old man says something, that man argue with him. Always argue with this man. They have argument, and that the other man is only 30 years old, much younger than him. So behind his back, this man, the 56-year-old man, always come to me and say, I don't like that guy. You know, can you stop using his product? This is serious. I'm not kidding. This is a true story. And so when Jim came to the operating room, I started working with him a year ago. When this man says something, I said, Jim, can I teach you something? Can I teach you something, Jim? He said, yes. You always say, yes. Yes, Ken. His name is Ken. Yes, Ken. Yes, Ken. Oh, Ken loved Jim. I'm just sharing this just to see that, you know, if you agree with somebody all the time, you are loved and you find a favor with that person. So Ken really liked Jim and he promoted his product all the time. So that's why I always say, yes, da. Yes, da. Whatever you want, da. And the same thing, I always say, yes, God, I agree with you. I'm going to confess. I'm going to say things that I am in agreement with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to say things opposite to what you say in the Bible. I'm going to hold fast to the confession about what the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for me. I'm not going to go against what He has done for me. I'm going to agree with Him in my confession. In this class, in the future, you're going to learn more about the word confession. Today, just lay down foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at another scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. You learn something tonight? Okay. So we learn so far, we don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we hear. We go by what the word of God says. We learn the second thing, we should not consider the symptoms, we should not consider the circumstances. What we consider, Jesus. When I say consider Jesus, also mean this way. Let me read the Bible. I'm sorry, God remind me to tell you this. When I say consider Jesus, it means consider who He is, what He did for us, and what He is doing for us, and also let me read this scripture. Is it not in the computer there? In the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I remember when I read this scripture when I was a new believer, I was so confused. What is the Word? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. What is that? Later on, I understand The word here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrew, now God in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through a prophet. But now God speak to his people through his son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, I was driving here in the car and I was trembling in my car, speaking to God. Because God reminded me of Moses. That God told Moses to speak to the rock. But Moses struck the rock and he did not enter the promised land. How many people don't know that story? I was trembling because I said to God, God, I have a big responsibility. I would do and I would say, I do my best, God. Help me not to make a mistake. I will only do and I only say what Jesus wants to do and want to say in this church. Because he is the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
And there are two things about the Word. Logo, written word. This is logo, the written word, L-O-G-O. And rhema, the inspiring word from Jesus that gave to you by the Holy Spirit. So, what I try to say is this, that you look unto Jesus. Also, it means you look into the Word of God. Because the Word is Jesus in the physical form. You get what I try to say? So you look into the Word of God. You look into what He said to you. Amen? So today, I'm in the car, I really was trembling. God, I don't want to be like Moses. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to do anything that I go opposite what you tell me to do in this church. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. How many people know that God has medicine? God can heal you. And the Bible says clearly in the Hebrew language, the word health in verse 22, health also translates as medicine. What is the medicine of God? The medicine of God is the Word of God. How do you get the medicine of God? The Bible says clearly here, do not let them depart from your eyes. Okay, before I explain this, I want to share with you from my heart quickly here. I notice that some both old and new believers in the church, not in this room right now. You are not in that group of people. Thank God. But I noticed that some believers in our church, in many churches, don't care much about the Word of God. I remember when I was a brand new believer in 1981. The first Sunday I went to church, I pulled out my notebook and I wrote down everything that Pastor from Montana said. He's an American pastor. And I listened. He was speaking in English and my English was weak at that time. But I listened carefully and I still kept that note in my cabinet at home. Haven't thrown away. I even remember what he preached. Since that day on, the first service in my Christian walk, I always pay attention to what God wants to say to me from the pulpit. From any sermon tape, from any CD. Amen? Today I saw one of my patients walk into my office with a portable DVD player and ask him how much. Listen carefully. It's not done yet. He said about $100 to $200. I said, I need to get this. And a lot of people think, oh, you like to watch DVD. No, no, no. I'm thinking, oh, this is good, so I can watch sermon DVD on the airplane. I don't want to waste time on the airplane. I want to listen to the Word of God. You know, I noticed that some Christians are like this. They come to church, and they walk around doing sermon. They stand outside talking to friend. They always run to the restroom every 5 minutes. And they say, you know, this Word of God, I know already. I listened to this kind of sermon 5 times already. And he talked about faith again. I listened to this. Pastor, I need something deeper than this. He talked about love again. I listened to this. He talked about revival again. I listened to this 100 times. Oh, I'm bored. I'm going to play my game here. I'm going to read my own Bible right now. I don't want to listen to this guy talking. I tell you, if you have that attitude, your Christian life will not be strong. This is the right attitude. My son, give attention to my words. Listen to the Word of God carefully. Amen. Incline your ears. You don't sit in the service and try to think about something, listen to somebody talk. No, no. Listen carefully. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart here. You know, I remember, this is my lifestyle all this year. After I listen to some good sermon, if I don't get the whole thing, I get the tape and go home and listen one more time. I'm serious. A lot of people know that is my living witness. She knows. After the sermon, I will run to the tape table right away and say, I want that tape. I want to listen one more time because I don't get the whole thing. I listen carefully and I want to listen, and after I listen I come home and I meditate on it. I ponder into my heart. I'm thinking about that issue for many days. I keep them in the midst of my heart. You know why? Because I know that the Word of God is life to my life and health or medicine to my body, my soul, and my spirit. Amen. Now, the Bible says, keep looking, keep them in the midst of your heart. What does it mean? It means two things. One thing means that you keep reading the Bible, you keep your eyes. Don't, you know, young men, don't keep your eyes on the girl with the short skirt. Take that your eye away from those things. Amen. I don't know why nowadays a lot of ladies like to wear a very little piece all over the city. I one thing that I don't like summer in Seattle is that people begin to wear short pants and, you know, little piece, and it's not healthy for young men, for their eyes. Amen. So, but you should keep your eyes on the Word of God. That's one thing. Another thing is, when we say that you keep your eyes, when the Word of God is in your eyes all the time, it means that you see yourself in it. Do you know that yesterday I saw a 93-year-old man walk into my office as a patient. And he was kind of have back problem and all this. And when I was looking at him and I was talking to, I saw myself still flying to Japan and preach the gospel. I saw myself healthy and strong. I saw myself according to what the Word of God said. I keep the Word of God in my eyes and I see myself in that Word of God. Amen. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you read the Bible, you meditate on it, you're pondering in your, you keep thinking in your heart, and you see yourself in what the Bible says about you. Amen. Keep your eyes, keep in the midst of your eyes. You have a vision of yourself, what the Bible says. Because everything in the Bible that God says in the Bible is for you, not for somebody else only. All written for us to be used on earth right now, not in heaven. In heaven, we don't need the Bible anymore. Because we're going to be completely righteous and we don't need the Bible. But the Bible is written for today, for on earth right now. Amen.
Amen.
So if you want to, how many people want to stay healthy all the days of your life? How many people want sickness to go away quickly from your life if you suddenly, if something happened, like you have a cold or you have a something happened to you, sickness? How many people want that to go away as soon as possible? Okay. You need to get God medicine according to His prescription, instruction. You know, instruction on the prescription is so important. Because if you take it wrong, it can cause two side effects. I can explain this because I'm a physician. I give you an example. If you come to me with bladder infection, and I write prescription for you, medication say called Cipro, 500 milligrams two times a day for 7 days to 14 days. And you go home, you say, I'm lazy. I'm going to take Cipro, 500 milligrams, one in the morning, and then wait another couple of days and take another one. If you do that, soon and very soon, the bacteria will build resistance and turn to something, and Cipro doesn't work. And then you have to take higher, stronger, more expensive medication, and end up, eventually, you may have a chronic bladder infection and never get rid of it, because all the bacteria turn bad. In order to hit the bacteria, you need to hit like this, 500 milligrams twice a day until the bacteria is killed in 7 days. Done deal. Is that right? Then you get healed. On another way, if the prescription says 500 milligrams two times a day, but you take 1,000 milligrams five times a day, what's going to happen to you? You get toxic. You die. Because it's overdose. You see what I'm talking about? The same thing. In order to stay healthy and see supernatural healing of God for your physical body, you need to get the instruction of God. And this is the instruction or the prescription of God. And let me read one more time. My son, give attention to my words. How can you give attention to His words if you never pick up the Bible and read? How can you give attention to His word if you never go to church? How you can get attention to His word if you never buy a CD or tape from the church and listen in the car? If you spend most of your time doing something else, how can you get attention to the Word of God? If you want to get attention to the Word of God, you need to expose yourself to the Word of God by going to care group, going to church, read the Bible, listen to CD, watch DVD, whatever. You need to expose yourself to the Word of God and give attention to it. Incline your ear to my saying. Mean that when you get into the Word, you need to really listen carefully. Don't have a daydream. Don't think about something else. Listen carefully. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep reading. Keep seeing it. Keep seeing yourself in it. Keep believing it. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Memorizing it. Meditating on it. Keep inside. Accumulating it. Storing it up. Amen. And you then gonna live a healthy life and see life and not death. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the faith that we talk about, that we learn about here. You see yourself. When you really have faith in the Word of God, you see yourself in the Word of God. Amen. I remember one time, I just shared with you my personal story. One time I read this scripture, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I read this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And suddenly God said to me, Son, keep meditating this word, because even though this word is for Jesus Christ, but it's also for every believer, because you are anointed. Every believer is an anointed person with the Holy Spirit. So I began to meditate. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And you know, after I meditate like this 400 times, I begin to see myself anointed man. And then God began to talk to me that every time you open your mouth, you believe that people can start to change when you begin to preach the word. And every time you lay hand, something can happen. And I begin to see myself in it, that every time I preach the word, people's life gonna change, will never be the same. Because of the anointing of God upon my life. I believe, I see myself in it, and I believe that I'm anointed. How many people do you believe that you are anointed? Do you know that every Christian is anointed?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't say, oh, I'm a defeated person. I don't make it. Oh, I'm a poor guy. Oh, God doesn't love me. No, you say, I'm anointed. Yes. I'm more than conquerors. Yes. I'm more than, I'm a victorious person by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Confess it. I have the power of God in me, the power of resurrection. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. Do you know that? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. Who? Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at this scripture. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay. You notice one thing about faith. Faith comes before receiving. Faith comes before answer. Faith comes before physical manifestation. Faith comes before you see the result. If you go opposite faith, I want to see the result, then I have faith. It's a wrong faith. Amen. You believe that you get the answer according to what the Word of God says. Okay, let me share quickly here. When I say faith, where is our faith based upon? Based upon the Word of God. That is real faith. If your faith is in something else, it's not faith. It's called presumption. I give you example. This is not the statement of faith. If I say, oh, you know, I have faith that God gonna give me $1 million. Be careful, because God never say that. God only say that I shall supply all of your need according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God never promised $1 million to anyone.
Amen.
Amen. So a lot of people use faith in the wrong way. They use faith for their own flesh. Oh, I claim $1 million. That's your claim, but not God's claim. Okay. God never claim $1 million for you. Amen. God just said you will have more than enough. How much? It's up to God. But you can believe God that you will have more than enough. Amen. So your faith must be based on what the Word of God says here. Now when you pray, when you come to God by faith, you believe that you receive before you receive it. And then you receive it. Now, I want to teach you something about this to help you. Because I know that we all come from school, we all learn science, we all learn how to be logical. So in the human logic, when you ask for something and you don't see the result, that next minute, you kind of give up and say, oh, I don't see it. So I'm not going to walk in faith anymore. Is that right? But you need to understand this. Faith is of the spiritual realm. You need to understand one thing, that many things that happen on the physical realm is the outcome of what happened in the spirit realm. There is a spirit realm, demons, Satan, evil spirit, angels, heaven that you don't see and you are not there yet because it's another world. There is a we are living in the physical world and there is a spiritual world. Heaven and hell and principality and angels and all these are in the spiritual world. You need to understand that a lot of things that happen to you come from spiritual world. I give you an example. Just happened lately in the past 2-3 days. Last Sunday night, a lady came to me and said, "Pastor, I really get tired of having this peptic ulcer and headache. And I try medication, I have stomach ache every single day. Could you please pray for healing for me?" And I asked her, "Did you give your life to some evil spirit when you were young?" She said, "Yes. When I was 15 years old, I gave my life to a god, evil spirit." So I said, "I'm going to lay hands and pray for you, but at the same time, I'm going to cast this demon out of you. Because this demon takes possession on your life because you give your life to this demon." So I lay hands on this lady on that last Sunday night, and I cast out demon. And you know, I saw her on Wednesday. She came here to the class. I asked her, "How are you doing?" She said, "Oh God, all the stomach pain is gone. All the headache is gone. Now I'm healed." You see what I mean? There's so many things in the spiritual realm that you don't see affect your physical body. I'm serious. So, a lot of things. That's why, as Christians, you need to learn how to deal with the spiritual realm. When you pray by faith, you believe that you have received the promise of God in the Bible. Bam! Even though you don't see things happen in the physical realm, but something is going on in the spiritual realm already. But it will come to manifestation in the physical realm at God's timing. So that's why you don't need to pull yourself out from faith. Stay in faith because it's happening in the spiritual realm. And it's going to come in the physical realm one of these days, or soon, or maybe next minute, or maybe next day. Amen? So you need to understand this fact, that whatever you pray by faith, boom, something happened out there. You see what I mean? Even though you don't see with your eyes. How many people believe that a lot of things that you don't see with your eyes are real? How many people have seen X-ray beam? When people take X-ray in the hospital, when you go into the CAT scan machine, do you see X-ray beam running around your head? No. So even though you don't see things, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The same thing, you don't see spiritual world, but it exists, and something is going on. That's why, when you come to deal with spiritual things, you need to understand that faith is a spiritual thing to get a hold of the things of the spiritual realm, to come into the manifestation in the physical realm. Amen? Okay, let me be clear to you here, because I'm afraid that you misunderstand me. I'm talking about things about God and you. I'm not talking about walking across the street. Because walking across the street is of the physical realm. You cannot just stand at the edge of the road and say, "Okay, I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm not going to look at anything. I'm not going to feel anything. I'm not going to look at a car. I'm going to walk out by faith that I don't care. I believe God is going to save me from being hit by a car." I'm not talking about that. Because that is the thing. God gave us physical body to deal with the physical realm. And many things in our life is physical realm, such as I need to eat food into my stomach to be healthy. That is physical realm, and nothing wrong about eating. You see what I mean? Nothing wrong about standing at the edge of the road and look at the right, look at the left. You need to use that physical thing to protect yourself. But the lesson tonight is not about that. Okay? I just want to warn you, don't use this Bible faith for walking across the street. I'm talking about using Bible faith to get what God says in the Bible. Amen? Okay, I think I should stop here to give you time for dinner, because I noticed that you're all tired. So I'll give you half an hour. Let us pray for dinner together, and then we come back at 8:30. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this class, and we learn, and we know, Lord, we can grow more in the area of faith. We want to, Lord, walk by faith and want to be faithful Christian. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Bless our dinner together and the fellowship, and help us, Lord, that we will be able to love one another by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.